Good morning. Merry Christmas. I hope you have some joy this morning. I put that picture up there because I just knew it would bring a lot of joy. It would help you. Now my computers are talking to me. Russell caught me off guard. Long time ago, in a land far away, true story. I was preaching in a refugee camp in Tanzania. It was the time of a genocide in Rwanda, and so the Tutsis had all come into Tanzania by the millions, and then that all switched, and then the Hutu, who had caused all the troubles, were back now running for their lives, and they were in Tanzania. So we were in the refugee camp, and many of them from Burundi and Rwanda and Congo, like talking millions, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people being displaced and moved. And so we were in the camp, and just to give you a little idea what the camp was like, the day that we were there, the couple days we were doing the conference, the UN delivered their little pieces of cloth, kitenges, that the ladies would wrap, those colorful cloths. And I think it was two, I don't want to exaggerate, but at least two of the women suffocated in the line just waiting to get a piece of cloth. And the camps were hell holes. There's no way to describe it. If you're a refugee in one of those camps, the prayer requests this isn't very joyful, so just hang on. It's getting there. But it has context. The prayer request of all the ladies who came for prayer was that they would be able to go back home because they were being raped daily, weekly, as they go for water, as they go anywhere in the camp, because the point was to have as many Hutu people from that tribe, that background, to go back and take over the country again. So it was just, and there's no police, and you can't believe the setting. And so we're doing a conference. We have 400 or 500 pastors and their wives in a church. And one of the ladies who came with us from South Africa, one of the pastors, her job that morning was to preach on the Holy Spirit. And she took an empty balloon. And I didn't want to take an empty balloon and blow it up in front of you in case I passed out. Thanks, Russell. So she said, our lives are like this empty balloon, you know, without the Holy Spirit, this is our life, kind of looks like this. And then she started to blow it up and ended up with something like this. And I have to say, a few of you look a little bit like this morning. And then she blew it up, and all she did is she just hit it into the audience. Yes, exactly. I appreciate the young people, because if I handed out balloons this morning, they would blow them all up and keep it moving, keep it going. Let's see if it works like in the camp. But what happened, thank you, was the directors of the camp came, and they're saying, you know, we've been here for years, and we've never seen these people smile. And that stuck with me. And as I was thinking of this morning, there's a lot of reasons why people don't smile. And I hope that got your attention. That's the end of joy right there. But what I was thinking is I'd hand out balloons to the saddest people and then make you blow it up. No. But seriously, we're talking about joy this morning, and all the little kids, they have joy. I don't doubt, the guys in the back, you got to fight with them just to keep quiet, because they have life. And I just want to encourage you this morning that as we come to Christmas, as we come to this season, we've been talking about peace and hope and joy today and love. It cannot just be a sermon. It cannot just be a story or some theological point. It has to be the reality of our lives. And I don't know what it's going to take to encourage you, to put joy into your life, put courage into your life this morning, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. And so I want to talk. If you just put up the next slide, there's a couple of verses there that refer to this. I'm going to be going to John chapter 15 in a minute. If you want to turn there, we're going to look at that chapter. But just a reference, these things I've spoken to you, this is Jesus, at the end of that paragraph, he says that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. That's a lot of joy. And it's Jesus' joy. And then in Romans, we quoted this the last couple of weeks and the kids read it. This kind of sums up the whole Advent month. But may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural thing. We said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, people see faith as supernatural. That's faith. And hope is natural. No, hope is a gift from God, just like faith is needed. The gift of faith, the hope that needs to flood into our souls is from God, and joy is the same. And you've heard it all, you've heard all the sermons. Joy is not happiness. They're different. Happiness is from outside. Joy comes from inside. That's the difference. One is out, one is in. They're very closely related. I want them all. We want happiness. We want, but it depends on happenings, as you know. And sometimes happenings are not good, and sometimes they're very good. But joy comes from within. Joy is found in a person. Joy is Jesus. Just like hope, just like peace, just like love. It's found in him, a person. And it's through our connection with him. I like the couple of thoughts. That's why I wrote them down. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written them down. But joy can be experienced by everyone. It's kind of like that example of you know, the widow with her mites. She comes and gives her two mites, and Jesus says she's given more than everyone. God has a way of just leveling the playing field. It's not about the amount, it's about the heart, right? And the same with joy. I've seen, you know, I've said this 1,000 times if I've ever said it. I've been in the ruggedest villages of Africa, in the back most, if we had time, I could tell you stories. And I've seen pure joy in people's faces. I remember when we first moved to Tanzania, that's 100 years ago, and it was shocking to us, and culture shock, and heat, and language school, and food, and diarrhea, and you don't want to know all the stories. And I just remember looking at people, it's like, how do they smile? How can they be happy? Look at this mud, cow, dung thing they're living in, and they're happier than me. And that takes a lot of happiness. It's just like, if there isn't a sermon illustration, I wish I could take you there. I don't even know if you could get back into those conditions, except if there was a war-torn middle of civil war going on. That's where we lived for the first years. And it was like, out of that came some of the purest joy in people's lives. Joy comes from inside. Joy is a gift from God. And we need to nurture it. We need to ask him for it. And then as someone prayed it this morning, then we need to express it. We need to stir it up in ourselves. We need to encourage each other. Because here's what I wanted to say. Joy is contagious. Joy gets passed on. It's like hope. It's like faith. We pass it on to one another. And if you hang around the wrong crowd your whole life, no wonder your joy is sucked out of you. If you listen to the media and the news and the stuff going on in this world right now, there's enough to kill every one of us. But I'm telling you, the gospel is still good news. The gospel is still the hope for the world. And despite what our government wants to say about our Bibles and all these things, you read the news, you watch the news more than me, they haven't got a clue about what this word of God really is all about and what it means to people. And you want to focus on some negative verses, and I don't even want to go there this morning. They don't have a clue what the gospel has done in this world and what it's about and what the message of Christmas brings to this world. And so that's why I'm talking to you this morning. You and I have got to be those conduits. Be one of joy, of peace. If I was a good singer, I'd sing those old songs. We used to sing them when we were kids. Just like you were an altar boy, so was I. And I quit quicker than you. Our priest was meaner than yours. Where there's, let me bring peace. You know, let me be a channel of your whatever. Are you a channel? Am I a channel? Does my face tell that? Do people want to hang around me? Do kids like me? My grandkids do, some do. But it's like, God help us to find a way to overcome circumstance, to overcome our little situation, and fill our hearts and lives with joy. And so that's what this message is this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 15, if you don't mind. We want to read the scripture this morning. You know the story. If I get to it, you'll know about the vine. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Verse 1. He says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, or abide. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Abide in my love. Remain there. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that, what? My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete, may be full. Amen? My commandment is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Amen. Jesus says, I told you these words. Why? So that my joy would be in you and that your joy would be full. So that's the point that he's trying to make, that they would be full of joy, that they would their joy would be complete. There would just be this undergirding, overriding completeness of joy in their life, this soundness. And I used it 2 years ago, so we'll see who was here 2 years ago, but the water table under our old house used to be a high water table, and I compared that to joy. There's just this high water table that flows under our life, under the foundations of our life, which is the joy of God, which is knowing God is for me and God is with me. I have hope, I have peace, I have joy, I have God's character, the fruit of the Spirit in my life. That's what he's talking about. And he says, I've said these things so that you would have that. So what did he say? I'm going to go back just to this paragraph. You can go back further in John. You can just keep going. That's what Jesus has been saying, so that his joy would be in them and their joy would be full. So first of all, abide in him. Put up that slide. Work with me here. How do we fill up our joy tanks? How do we fill up the reserve of joy? By abiding in him, by remaining in him. And you've heard these sermons. That's the thing about Advent. You know, you talk about peace, you talk about joy. Like, how many angles can we come at this? But if you want the joy of Jesus in your life, you want to be have joy full, to be full of joy. That's his promise, that you would be full of the joy of God. You would be that person. Then he says, remain in me. Abide in me. It's through our direct connection to him that joy can be in us. Amen? It's like the vine and the branch. It's like if the life isn't there, if it's cut off, the sap doesn't flow, the joy is gone. The life is gone. That you're left with yourself. You're left with everything else. If you do not abide, if you do not stay, remain connected to Christ, if that's not your experience, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see. Here's the deal. If I trust in your life, you have tasted and seen that God is good. Doesn't matter when. Maybe it's this morning. But once you've tasted and seen that, you're ruined for life. If you've been able to pray with somebody, if you've ever been able to lead someone to the Lord, if you've ever been with someone on their dying bed, like what stories you want me to tell this morning? Have you ever been able to do a drama in front of 10,000 people, a church that holds 10,000, with the walls sweating, and 3,000 or 4,000 come forward to accept Jesus, and you standing there, and you're not even that happy because you're so tired and sweaty and tired of this whole drama thing, and 3,000 or 4,000 people push to the front, and you're like, Jesus is good. Jesus is good. It has nothing to do with how I feel. It has nothing to do with how loud I can shout. It has nothing to do with maybe even how great the children's choir is. It's about Jesus touching people's hearts and giving them hope, giving them a peace, giving them a joy in life that just overcomes circumstance and overcomes situations. They're just like, yes, God is with me. God is for me. Emmanuel, you know, all the names of God we sang this morning. He's with us. That thing gets you. And when it gets you, man, like I heard someone say this morning, go past the point of no return. You know what that is, right? It's like in an airplane when they get past the point, it would be harder to go back. They have no fuel to get back, but they can get to where they're going, past that point. God wants us to get past that point of no return. And for me, that was in 1974, in April. I got past that point. You cannot convince me of anything else. I've tasted and I've seen that God is good. I've seen what the devil can do. I've seen what he's doing right now in the world. I see what the lying, filthy religions of this world are doing and saying. But there is a promise in Jesus that he's going to bring peace and he's going to rule and reign and we are going to be with him and we are going to stand up and preach the gospel until that day comes. And we don't get quiet. You can say what you want about the Word of God. The Word of God, oh man, I would be very afraid to be those guys who stand up against the Word of God, condemn the Word of God. Look at history. I could list, I used to have the list of Karl Marx and this one. By this time, those guys are so long dead, forgotten. People don't even remember their names. And the church and the Word of God remains. Hallelujah. How did I get all that out of experience? But if you have ever tasted and seen that God is good, you have a hard time to describe it. You'll have a hard time to explain it. I'm trying to encourage you today to live it. You know, we went big at Christmas growing up. And I would say we probably quieted that down mostly because our kids are growing. We just give them money, so it's so easy. But just to build up for that anticipation of Christmas. I mean, my dad, you can say what you want. We had our struggles with him. And some of them, those stories I've said. But man, he used to put hay on the roof of our house for Santa Claus' reindeer. I don't know how they did it. And I don't know how many kids are in here, but I'll swear till this day I heard those reindeer on there. And they ate that hay and it was gone in the morning. I'm not that committed. But just to build up anticipation. I mean, I don't know how they did it. There's footprints up on and then down, and the hay is gone, and then it's the chimney's messed up, and it's like, that's commitment. Maybe he made George do it. I don't know, the oldest brother, somebody. But I swear, reindeer were real, and I fought with my cousins most of my life until one mean old aunt said some stuff. And then what I'm trying to say about that is, don't be the Grinch. You know, I hear Christians saying, we don't celebrate Christmas, a pagan thing. It was, okay, then pick another day. Make a birthday party, give gifts, do something. Let your kids get excited about this story that we're singing about. You don't like this, then make it your own. But there was a day Jesus was born, and the world sings, and every heart needs to make room for Jesus. I don't care however you celebrate in their house, but my point is, make something exciting out of it. Let kids anticipate. Let kids get excited about a gift and about why we're meeting and why we're eating and why we're singing. Because Jesus, and we've tasted and seen that he's good. Yeah. And that personal relationship, sorry, I'm not going to do this with every slide, but it emphasizes an intimate face-to-face relationship with God. That's what it means to abide. That's what it means to remain in him. Moving from observing to truly knowing. Here's the thing at Christmas that I wanted to get to. What's distracting you? What's distracting me right now from this message of Christmas? From the true, true message of Christmas? And, you know, this is the other side of what I was just saying. Don't go broke into debt trying to buy stuff. And, like, when we were kids, and I know you're going to say, okay, yeah, tell us a story. You walked to school uphill and both ways. And in the winter, and you had no shoes, yes, and we put barbed wire on our feet for traction. I know those stories. But don't, you can find the simple joy. What I'm trying to say is, we had a sock, a real sock, not a Santa Claus fancy sock, Russell, a sock. And we'd get a Japanese orange, that's what we called them, in the bottom, and then you get ground nuts, you know, in the shells. Peanuts, what? But the whole thing, and then you get a couple of those curly Christmas candy things, hard candy. Thank you. And we would wake up like at 4 a.m. because we heard the reindeer. Because and that sock and that orange and that I can still taste it. We'd make ourselves sick on those peanuts. Doesn't take much if you can just understand the good joys of life. And I just want to encourage you to experience that with Jesus. Experience that with your family over the Christmas season. And don't get distracted from what's really going on at Christmas time. What are you focusing your life on? I'll end this with the relationship part. Don't be satisfied with just some crumbs of a relationship with Jesus. Just some leftover, somebody else's testimony. I don't want to live someone else's testimony. I want to live my own testimony. I want to have my own relationship with Jesus. I want to know what it means to pray and see an answer to prayer, to see God come through, to believe him for stuff, and to see the mighty, mighty hand of God, whether it's finance, whether it's health, whether it's our kids, whether it's circumstance, to see God come through. And that comes from a personal relationship, not someone else's, not someone else's testimony. Your personal experience with God. Let's go on. You want to have your tanks filled with joy? Jesus said, abide in me. Second thing, this one's not so fun. If the first one was fun, I don't know. Next slide, please. He says, pruned if you do and pruned if you don't. He says, if you don't bear fruit, I'll throw you in the fire. If you bear fruit, we'll prune you. That you, what? You'll bear more fruit. I don't know if you can see the picture in the background. I was trying to find pictures that kind of sober us up. Pruning the discipline, as we follow God and as we press into Jesus, isn't that fun? Christians, we love to sing, you know, all the songs, you know. What's the line I have here? It's like, refiner's fire. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just sing that song. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Lightning bolts, fire. No, God, I don't want that. I don't want a refiner's fire. We sing all these songs. I don't want the fire. I don't. But can I tell you something? The best lessons, the best understanding of Jesus and who he is and knowing him and deep down, deep change in my hard heart has come through fire. Disappointment, people, stuff. And you just like, you don't understand it. You're in it. You're just, and it's so easy for me to stand here and sing and so easy to speak about it. But when God's pruning us, he's got a purpose. Jesus said, I'm saying these words. Why? So that your joy may be full. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because when he prunes, when he comes and disciplines and works in our life all kinds of ways, whatever way he chooses, it's for a greater purpose. And our challenge is to say, okay, God, what are you doing? What are these circumstances? I don't understand them. And I've told you my stories, and I've told you my examples, and there's folk right here in the church. And I have, you know, one of my first experiences as a pastor in Swan Hills was a mother, her baby was stillborn. About a week before birth, died in the womb, and sitting with them as a young couple and as a young pastor. And I knew nothing about it, except that I know that God knows. God is wise. God understands. God, and we can't start saying why. How come? We can only say, God, we trust you. And I remember when little sweetie was run over in 3C, I look at Russell because we were there. I remember the couple that ran, the young man that backed over her, right in front of me. And he was, he wants to get out and he wants to prophesy to the couple whose baby he's just run over. And I took him, if I could have lifted him up, took him into the prayer room at the church and into the blockhouse, it was called. And I said, listen. This couple does not want to hear your wisdom. They don't want to hear your prophecy. This is not the time. What they want to know is, what they want to see actually is your tears. I want to see your brokenness. That's going to speak to them. It's in those times you say, God, work. Only God can work. And he knows what to do to get to our hearts, to get to our lives, to get to the deep things that might actually change us. And he says, I'm pruning you. And that's, like, think what that means. Think what that means. People have lost businesses. They've lost lives. They've lost health. You say, well, you're blaming God? No, God knows, but he's working through all these things for a greater purpose. And I don't know, sometimes it'll be in heaven when I'm going to meet some people in heaven, I'm going to say, I don't know how heaven works, but okay, now we get it. Now we get it. I know there's people I'm going to meet in heaven. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for what an idiot I was. I'm sorry. You know, what else can we say? We do what we can. We do our best. We pray. We seek God. We ask God. And we trust that through community, through the church, through the body of Christ, through being part of him. That's what remaining him means also, okay? Don't get me to preach everything this morning. We are his body. He is the head. We remain in him. We are connected to him. And we go through these things, and it bears much fruit. If you think pruning is fun, you haven't been pruned for a while. I don't know what's coming in 2026. I look forward to it with God. Maybe 2 years ago, I'm just waxing eloquently here this morning, but 2 years ago at least, I remember sitting with my brother, whoever it was, and I'm like, no, the gospel's not penetrating this country. I've seen what the gospel does around the world. I've seen what it did in the 70s. I've seen it's penetrating, but it's not like what I meant, you know, this is me waxing eloquent when we're talking. It's like, I don't care if it takes a civil war, if it takes whatever it takes. Let the Antichrist come. Stir this country. Maybe China needs to take over Canada. And then the church will start praying. Then we'll start seeking God's faith. I don't know. Just, you know, I'm just talking philosophically. And then the last couple of years, what I've seen, I'm like, okay, Lord, I didn't mean it. There's other ways to bring revival to this country. But I don't know what's coming down the chute, but I know God. And I know He's working, and He's got a plan. And His plan is working out. From the moment Jesus was born in Bethlehem until that day He comes back again, He's working out a sweet plan for our lives. And that's what I put my trust in. I trust this morning that you're finding purpose and joy and peace and hope in your life through Christ. Because if you're not, the well is pretty dry out there. Those cisterns that are out there that people are drinking at, they don't offer a lot. Lastly, through obedience and love, Jesus says, might as well read my points right there. We can mistakenly think obedience means restrictions. It's actually the opposite. And you know the stories, you know them. We can be deceived to think that obedience is painful and restrictive. Oh, God. Oh. He says, if you abide in my word abides, you obey my commands, you love me. Why? Because they're good for us. When we walk in the commands of God, what God says about love and sex and marriage and life and money and salvation and hope and joy, and when we walk in the truth of His word, we are filled with a joy that can't be explained by this world. We're filled with a peace, with a hope that it's hard to explain. I'm not stupid. I'm not blind, but I know that there's a God in heaven who's taken care of me and taking care of this situation and the circumstance I'm in. Think of marriage. People say, oh, that's restrictive, you poor married people. I'm free. No, you're not. You don't know the freedom of a monogamous lifetime commitment. I always joke to Lori, I'm never leaving, hon. Sorry. Never, I promise. You know the joke, the guy's looking in the mirror going, and he's telling his wife, honey, I'm never leaving you, honey, never. I'm with you for life, dear. But seriously, because I've been told not to joke so much, don't dare tell me not to joke, because then I will joke all day. To know the freedom, the protection of a plan of God. That's just one, marriage. Just to know that. How about obeying His commands? Name one. Talk about it. Live under the authority of God Himself. People say, oh, you can't. You Christians are so blind. You're so narrow-minded. You're so, you know, so negative. You're so, so rigid. No, it's because we know what we're created for. We know who created us. We know He has a plan. And I use the example, I wrote it down here because I always forget his name. Thomas the Tank Engine. Hallelujah. Remember Thomas the Tank Engine? His little stupid cartoon, and he falls off the tracks. I'm free, I'm free. No, you're not. You're stuck. You're actually free when you're on the tracks, going somewhere, doing something, being what God created you to be. People think license is freedom. That's not freedom. Obedience to God in love, Jesus says, you'll have my joy. And your joy will be full. He means it. He said, I said these things. Why did he say these things? If you keep my commandments, if you allow me to discipline in your life, if you'll just remain in me, if you'll just stick with me, if you'll just trust me, you'll have joy. And your joy will be full. And I can't say anything else. That's what the Word of God says. You want the fullness of joy? Then you're going to have to commit your heart to Christ more. You want 2026 to be a year of unbelievable fullness of joy? Doesn't mean it's going to be all the exciting things that maybe you dream. But if you want to have joy this coming year, walk with Jesus. Yeah. Obey him. Trust him. Yeah. Stay on the tracks. If you're here today and you're contemplating some stupid sin, can I just be the voice in your back of your head? Just forget it. Stop it. And I've said that a few times, and it was R.T. Kendall who said that to us the first time. You'll wish for this day if you don't listen. 5 years from now, you'll say, why didn't I listen to that big mouth up there? Why didn't I stay faithful to this woman, to this man? Why didn't I just wait until marriage? Why didn't I just not get into that circumstance? Why didn't I just walk down that trail? Why didn't I open that door of whatever? Why didn't I keep it shut? Man, I wished I could go back to 2025 and just listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to my life. Obey God. Obey his commandments. Walk with him. Have a relationship with him that's real. So let's end. You know, we sang, I'm going to ask the band to come. We sang, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Hallelujah. Are you making room for Jesus? How full are your joy tanks? Where's your gauge at? The fullness of joy. If we abide in him, allow him to prune or work in us, if we obey him, not like children who see boundaries as just, ugh, if they could just, you know, I love my grandkids, but they want to watch TV 27 hours a day. And sometimes we're tired, whatever, we just say, yeah, just watch. And then they come out of the basin, they're just like messed. It's like, that didn't help you. And don't tell your mother what we did, okay? It's like, we don't want to be those kind of kids. To see discipline of God, to see what he says as restrictive, as harsh. It's like, no, God has a plan for our life and a purpose for our life, that our joy would be filled. I believe we are commanded to rejoice, to sing, to dance, to make melody in our hearts. But these things are outflow out of our life. They come from within our life. And so, you know, that's the challenge when we start to worship. We get a worship team, and they sing. And it's like cranking the old tractor to get it going. It's not wrong. It's not fleshly. It's actually what we're challenged to do. We're challenged to sing, to clap, to make noise, to rejoice. It's a command, actually. And sometimes you feel like it, sometimes you don't. But it's part of that stirring up what's inside. What's inside comes out. Amen. If the tanks are empty, it comes out. And we fill those tanks and say, God, I'm by faith this morning. I'm speaking Jesus. I'm speaking the names of some of these songs we've been singing. And I'm going to speak his name. And I'm believing that he's going to change my circumstance and my situation. So this morning, I just felt I wanted to ask, with you, every eye open and everyone looking, as we come to this Christmas season, you say, you know, I don't have the joy of God in my life. What you're talking about? And I'd like you to pray for me this morning. Maybe you need to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Then do it this morning. Let us pray for you. If that's you, let us pray. Or you're here this morning, and this season is not a happy season for a lot of reasons, and it's okay. It's okay. You say, I just want to know that peace of God. I want to know the hope of God. I want to know the joy that God has promised me. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to lay hands on you. We'd love to just encourage you. You know, there are so many good testimonies this week. This is not part of my sermon. I just want to say thank you to the people who volunteer and serve in this house. Russell did it earlier. And those of you who have given, not just your tithes and offerings, thank you for that. Bless you for that. Nick used to say, we shouldn't even say thank you for that. It's just because you love Jesus. But the stuff that's going on, the giving to bless others, to encourage others anonymously. I wish there wasn't anonymous. Like, but just to know the generosity of people. Such a blessing this time of year to touch others, to encourage others and strengthen others. And so I this morning, if you need to be encouraged, you need someone to speak to, let's pray. If you need Jesus to come in and to be Lord of your life once and for all, settled, past the point of no return, then let's pray this morning for that.